Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Charne. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Iti Namine. Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdeye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Prabhave Dayane Namaha Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premardha Shri Rupa Anuga Bhaktida Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravarni Shri Murtiye Dina Tarne Rupa Noga Virudha Pasidhanta Tantarne. I'll give my translation of this, the translation that I gave in my Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. I salute him who is known in this world as His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada, who is of the same status as Lord Vishnu and is most dear to Lord Krishna. I offer homage to him whose eternal identity is Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayata, one who is very dear to the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani, and who is powerful. An ocean of transcendental mercy and a deliverer of the science of Krishna. O giver of Srila Rupa Goswami's treasure of bhakti, replete with divine love for Radha Krishna, I bow to you the very form of Lord Chaitanya's mercy potency. I offer homage to you, the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's words, the savior of fallen souls, and the remover of the darkness of incorrect conclusions that oppose the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Today is the anniversary of the disappearance from this world of an Acharya who was known to his followers as Acharya Bhaskara. An Acharya who was just like the sun. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, the sun upon its rising dissipates the darkness of ignorance. So when the sun sets, the ignorance or the darkness again overtakes the world. That is one perspective. That is the action of the sun on this dark world. But the acharyas, they depart, but they remain also, because they remain by their instructions. Today, on the disappearance anniversary of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I will read a translation of an extract from one of his many discourses. The discourse was delivered in Bengali. It was spontaneous. He would sit and speak, generally not less than 2 hours, sometimes 5 hours or more. At a stretch, he would sit and speak. Some of a small percentage of what he spoke has been preserved in the form of writing, because some of his disciples were able to take notes and then re-fluff that out after the talk. Some has been saved. Actually, it's quite considerable amount, but it's only a fraction of what he gave. He was truly an acharya in the true sense of the term. This is a phrase that Srila Prabhupada employs in one of his purports in the beginning of the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the section which, first of all, in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the full Mangal Acharan and then discussion of the position of the gurus. The first words in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Gurun, we offer respect to the gurus, or specifically Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offers respect to the gurus. So there's a discussion within there of the gurus, the guru tattva, the principle of gurus. Srila Prabhupada uses this term, acharya, in the true sense of the term. And we may wonder how anyone would want to take the role of a guru. So what I'm going to read is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's personal answer to that objection, which he perceives. And this is in line with my series of talks, which I'm giving on guru issues. Why would anyone assume the role of a guru when it is opposite to the humility principle that defines a Vaishnava, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And it's such a headache. I asked one of my highly respected sannyasi godbrothers once why he doesn't initiate. He said, too much headache. Why should you take such headache? Why should Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was living practically at the same level of renunciation as his own Gurudev, in Mayapur, highly renounced life, disgusted with the world that he'd tried to preach to and found so much opposition for speaking the truth. He had more or less retired to Mayapur, and he was doing some translation and commentary in a disappointed mood because he wanted to speak the truth, but he found no one was listening. But he was bhajanānandi. He was happy and chanting, living in the land of Mayapur. So many difficulties he had to deal with there also. But how much more difficulty he had to come and be a guru, because for him being a guru wasn't just a matter of sitting on a big seat, as we shall hear. But it meant pushing back against all the corruption in the world, which means pushing back against everything in the world, because the whole world is corrupt. Sometimes we complain about corruption, but even the so-called ethics and morality, it's also corrupt because it is not conceived of in relation with Krishna. So for him, being a guru, or assuming the responsibility of being a guru, was extremely serious. He was an extremely serious, grave personality. So the question comes to us also. Obviously, he is a great acharya of incomparable. It's such a powerful personality, can be compared only to himself. Well, we can say Srila Prabhupada was like that. Yes, he was on the same level of topmost personality. But Srila Prabhupada's policy was in like a needle, out like a plow. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's Saraswati Thakur's policy was decorate the plow a bit, but go in like a plow. And this is my own, forgive me if I'm being inappropriate, but he would make nice temples, he would dress it somewhat in the style of a gentleman. He assumed all the appearance of a respectable gentleman in many ways, so that he could preach among respectable gentlemen. But his message was delivered with humility, but highly provocative. But why would someone like me assume to be a guru? And in this talk, it's a well-known passage from his writings, which are not really his writings, but from his teachings. It's a well-known passage. And he also indirectly admonishes all future generations not to abandon the responsibility of being a guru, thinking oneself incapable. How can I be a guru when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a guru, and Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is a guru, and Bhaktivikas Swami is a guru, and there's a gap there, isn't there? Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said that. I mean, I was told by Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, one of his disciples. Ami bolchi, tomra shunche, kintu amader moddhe ekta fak chole jacche. That I'm speaking and you are hearing, but there's a gap between us. And Narayan Das Bhakti Sudhakar, he noted that there is a chasm, exactly the word I don't remember, but there's a huge gap between the savior and the saved, and we can't say it's all the same. So acharya, in the true sense of the term, well, then we can say Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, but even from our Gaudiya perspective, even they may not be considered, because Madhuryojvala Premardha, the giving the highest of the prem, which is Madhurya Anujvala. It's imbued with Madhurya Rasa, which is only known to the Gauriyas. Not even Nimbarkas, they don't have it like that. And Ujvala Rasa, these terms will be understood by some. Even these terms, well, we can hear them, we can write them, but what do we know? So who are we and who is he? But still the order is there to be a guru and save this land. As we shall hear, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm going to be repeating his words and giving little commentary on that also. It's to hear his words is at once comforting and daunting. These are two different kinds of emotions. We feel comforted that we have such a shelter, such a guardian. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't just pop out of nowhere. He has his guardians, he has his protectors, he has his guides, his own guru, whose disappearance festival we are observing today. And then it goes back, there's a whole line of great protectors. So even though we ourselves are very poor, very weak, very small, it's very comforting to know we have our guardians in the Christian tradition, Catholic, I don't know about other traditions, there's the concept of a guardian angel. Don't worry, someone's there to watch you. There's divine help for you. He's always there. So comforting and at the same time daunting, because it's such a challenge to come up to the level that he wants to pull us up to. And it's daunting if we think that he's also telling me I should take the role of a guru. Not just the role of a guru, but the service of a guru, the responsibility of being a guru. And it's daunting when you think, oh, he is a guru, then what am I? He is a expansive banyan tree, and I'm not even a castor tree. I'm just this, not hardly even the seed of a castor tree. Anyway, let's read from this extract, which has been titled Assuming the Responsibility of Being Guru. And remember, at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was the guru. So it's not assuming the responsibility of being a guru. Those who know English, yeah, I said that, English, British English or American English, they'll know there's a difference between assuming the responsibility of being guru and assuming the responsibility of being a guru. So we today, who are attempting to follow in the footsteps of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we also take comfort from the fact that we are not alone in this service. There are others also who are distributing the mercy of Srila Prabhupada in the form of shiksha and diksha. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was alone. He stepped into the world and alone he started the whole mission. Of course, he had his, famously in the beginning, his assistant Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushana helped him in all aspects from the very beginning of setting up a mission. That wasn't Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's forte, although no doubt he could have done so because he came from the background of Kayasta administrators. He also had experience in administration in a secular sense, in the secretariat of the Maharaj of Tripura. But he left all that to Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushana. But it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who delivered the goods very powerfully. He was the Gaudiya mission. Just like we say, Srila Prabhupada is ISKCON. There's no ISKCON without Srila Prabhupada. So in the same way, the Gaudiya mission, Gaudiya Math, that is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Life and soul. Without the soul, the body is a shell. Anyway, this is from a talk given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at the Satchidananda Math in Cuttack on the 10th of July, 1927. I didn't think of it before. I think this must be the first time I thought of this, although I spent years absorbed in meditation on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But this particular lecture, presumably, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in the area at that time because it is the time around the time of Rathiyatra. So he would go from Cuttack to Puri for Rathiyatra there. So I'll read what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. It's not ecstasy, tears, it's just my eyes are a little blurred. He said, we have taken upon ourselves the responsibility of welcoming this grave charge. Welcome. I'm taking the order to be a guru. Welcome it. The guru's order should be taken very happily. All in the audience have accepted ordinary seats. I alone have been provided with a lofty seat, and we can extrapolate that there were highly respectable gentlemen in the audience, because that was the kind of people that Bhaktisthan Sosar Thakur was attracting, particularly in Cuttack, Odisha. There was the Janakinath Bose, who was famous at the time as a very highly successful pleader and very lawyer, and very highly respected. He's not very well known nowadays, but the name of his or one of his sons is a prominent figure in modernist Indian history. That personality who became known as Netaji, Subhash Chandra Bose. So Bhaktisthan Sosar Thakur was sitting, and there were highly respected gentlemen sitting before him, because Janakinath Bose was he lived in Cuttack, and he was a great admirer of Srila Bhaktisthan Sosar Thakur. So he used to come to listen. I alone have been provided with a lofty seat. All, in effect, are being told, have a look at a big animal from the zoo gardens. What is he talking about? What is Bhakti? The audience must have wondered what he's talking about, because in the culture of Hinduism, for want of a better word, Vedic culture, which is still there in India, this aspect of it hasn't declined. It is understood that one sits respectfully to hear a sadhu. But Bhaktisthan saying, sorry, have a look at a big animal from the zoo gardens. What arrogance, so foolish, so wicked. Have you ever seen such a big brute? Garlands of flowers have been put around his neck. What laudations, what bombastic, long-drawn, hyperbolic adjectives. And how complacently he is listening to the praise of his own achievements. How intently and with his own ears. So Bhaktisthan Sosar Thakur is drawing attention to the fact that what he, Bhaktisthan Sosar Thakur, is doing would, from a secular standpoint, appear to be, or a secular moralistic standpoint, appear to be a gross violation of etiquette. We can presume, again, that before he began his talk, his disciples, and maybe others also, had introduced him by praising his achievements and speaking long-drawn hyperbolic adjectives. Well, Bhaktisthan Sosar Thakur was himself a connoisseur in using long-drawn hyperbolic adjectives in his speech, and his disciples also picked that up from him, but now they're being used to praise him. So what arrogance! He's sitting and listening to this, and he's not protesting. He's sitting on a higher seat than persons who are highly respected in society. So he's drawing attention to this, which we can, again, presume. It's not just mental speculation, but it's a valid presumption that the persons in the audience weren't thinking like this. If there'd been Westerners, they might have been. Maybe there were Westerners present also, because sometimes Westerners would come to listen to him also. But from the way he is speaking, he's speaking in Bengali, isn't he? Yeah. Evidently, he also feels delighted. Is he not acting in plain violation of the teaching of Mahaprabhu? How can such a big brute, so selfish and insolent, ever be reclaimed from brutishness? In other words, he's saying, I'm just like a... The word brute is being used. It's a word which is used. It's synonymous with animal, but it gives the sense of an animal with no intelligence and gross and powerful and strong, but dangerous, and is used to describe persons, humans, who are a very gross mentality, and they may be very strong physically, but they don't. They misuse that strength. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues. I happen to be one of the greatest of fools. And this is the mood of a topmost devotion, topmost devotee. He feels like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sarvottama apanake mane trinadham. The symptom of a topmost devotee is that he thinks he's lower than grass. So he feels like that. Because of my arrogance, no one offers me good advice. Now this is, how do you balance this? Because he's saying he's the greatest of fools, and then he's saying he's arrogant. But if someone calls himself the greatest of fools, how can he be arrogant? But he sees both bad characteristics in himself. He thinks, no one offers me good advice. So, because they know I'm very arrogant. And it would appear to outside persons, even persons who respected him as a sadhu, very arrogant the way he speaks. He speaks as if he knows everything. He speaks in a very strong manner. He condemns pretty much everything. So he says, because of my arrogance, no one offers me good advice. Inasmuch as nobody condescends to instruct me, and again, the word condescend, it gives the sense that he's actually inferior to everyone who should instruct him, but they're fit to instruct him, but they don't. It occurred to me that I should present my case to Mahaprabhu himself and see how he would advise me. Then Sri Chaitanya Dev said to me, whomever you meet, instruct him regarding Krishna. On my order, become a guru and save this land. In that effort, you will not be obstructed by the current of the world. You will once again have my company at this place. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, lines that we in ISKCON know very well because our own most worshipable Gurudev, who we call Srila Prabhupada, he told us this again and again and again. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amag agyai guru hoya taro e desh. On my order, you become a guru and deliver this land. By whoever you meet, instruct them in the teachings of Krishna. These are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Srila Prabhupada repeated this again and again. Actually, this whole discussion, which I'm repeating here now and commenting on, it's an antidote or a reply to the post-samadhi Ritvik doctrine, the idea that Srila Prabhupada will continue to initiate and be the only guru in ISKCON for time, all time immemorial. Then there's another verse here on in that effort you will not be instructed by the current of the world. You will once again have my company at this place. That's also what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in this regard. Kobuna badibe tomai e bishoi taranga punarapi e tai pabe marashanga. In these verses, says Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is found the proper explanation of the apparent inconsistency described above. He whose only teaching is to be more humble than a blade of grass said, by my command, become a guru and save this land. In this instance, Mahaprabhu himself has given the decree, perform the duty of guru even as I myself do. Convey this same instruction to whomsoever you chance to meet. Chaitanya Dev says, tell them these very words. On my order, become a guru and save this land. Deliver people from their foolishness. Hrishikesh, I need to drink some water. I don't usually drink water in the middle of talks, but I'm going to have to. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues, now, whoever happens to hear these words would naturally protest with palms joined, but I'm really a great sinner. How can I be a guru? You are Godhead himself, the Jagat Guru. Only you can be guru. To this, Mahaprabhu replies, in this effort, you will not be obstructed by the current of the world. You will once again have my company at this place. Do not practice. Now, these words are not directly said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We won't find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he said it to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, or rather Bhaktisiddhanta, because there's no question of the vices that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will now describe. So he's giving his commentary. Do not practice the occupation of guru for the purpose of injuring others through malice. Do not adopt the livelihood of guru to become immersed in the slough of this world. Slough means a muddy ditch in which you can get stuck. But if indeed you can be my guileless servant, you will be endowed with my power. That you need not fear. The word guileless is important here. It means without deceitfulness. I didn't check the Bengali, but akapat, this is a common term used up to the present time among Bengali devotees in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Akapat, without deceitfulness. If indeed you can be my guileless servant, you will be endowed with my power, that you need not fear. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, I have no fear. That was very much apparent. He had no fear. I have no fear. My Guru Dev has heard this instruction from his Guru Dev, and it is for this reason that my Guru Dev accepted even such a great sinner as I and told me, on my order, become a guru and save this land. So that's another reason one may not want to become a guru. Why would you want to take the risk of accepting disciples with all their sinful reactions and all their misconceptions, and not only accept them, but tell them that you also have to go and preach? It's a great risk. But because this order is coming in parampara, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that he has to follow it. Only those who have, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues, only those who have never heard these words of Sri Gaurasunda say, how bizarre to listen to one's own praise in their opinion. Although it's not stated by such persons, but it's inherent in their mentality. In their opinion, while the guru is instructing the disciple in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, he is perpetuating a major sin. Wait a minute. Teaching the Bhagavatam is a major sin. Why? What is the acharya to do when he has to explain the verse Acharyang mang vijaniyat? The whole verse, Acharyang mang vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. So this is paraphrased in the next few lines by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Acharyam, because often he would quote verses or snippets of verses in his talks and expect his audience to understand what it means. Just like if I'm with some of my disciples, especially those who have been around a few years, and I may say to them, remember, mama maya duratyaya. And it's not needed to translate. It's expected that they understand it. So, this verse, Acharyang mang vijaniyat, and consider the guru to be myself, Krishna says. Consider, and don't disrespect him. Anyway, it's being explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. To not disregard the acharya or consider him to be on an equal level with yourself. These are the words, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, of Sri Krishna himself, whereby the jiva is to be benefited. Is the guru to desert his seat, the seat of the acharya, wherefrom these words are to be explained? In Udupi, the seat of the, or the central seat of the Madhva Sampradaya, is retained the very seat, so we're told, of Sri Madhvacharya, the one he used to sit on when discoursing. And the acharya of the Madhva Sampradaya, who is in Paryai, that means he's presently in the position of being the worshipper of Sri Krishna, deity at Udupi, he alone has the right to sit on that seat. It's just a simple wooden chokhi. And it's said that he has, at that time, he has the authority of Madhvacharya when he's sitting on that seat. A very, very heavy responsibility. So the seat of the acharya, the guru sits, why is he sitting on a high seat? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, because it's the seat of the acharya, from this position the Bhagavatam is to be taught. So it's, if there's any contradiction between being humble as a blade of grass and taking a superior position, then don't take the superior position as a teacher, as a guru, then that a blame should not be imparted to the guru, because this is the system that Krishna has set up. It's in Shastra. It's right there in Bhagavatam, and it's in all the Shastras, in the tradition. So that office of Guru was conferred upon him by his Guru Dev. Guru tells you to be a guru. So what are you to be? I'm a guru. So what do you do? Okay, you have to be a guru. What do you do? If he does not act commensurately with its requirements, he is doomed to perdition for his offense against the holy name in the shape of disrespect toward the guru. The third offense against the holy name is to disrespect the order of the guru, to disobey the order of the guru. So if one is told to be a guru and you don't do it, then you're making an offense. And if you do take the order to be a guru, then you have to do it in all respects, which includes taking a high seat and talking as if talking down to others. He's explaining perfectly, of course. He, the guru, must execute his duty, notwithstanding that such behavior is open to the charge of egoism. It will be misunderstood. He's explaining. When the guru imparts the mantra to his disciple, should he not tell him to worship the guru by that mantra? Among the mantras we give, the Guru Gayatri, which the guru is worshipped. So I received that mantra from my guru. I have to give it to my disciples, by which they worship the guru. If I don't give it, I am in violation of my duty to my guru. And if I do give it, then I'm giving the means to my disciple by which he can worship me. Should the guru instead say to the disciple, give the guru a few strokes of the shoe or horsewhip, but then, navamanyeta karhichit sarvadeva mayo guruhu, the guru is never to be decried. The guru is the abode of all the gods. Should the guru abstain from communicating these words to his disciple when reading the Bhagavatam to him? Only to him who possesses guileless spiritual devotion to the guru, similar to that offered to himself, are the holy mysteries manifested. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata gurau tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. Is the guru not to tell these things to his disciples? Ado guru puja, worship of the guru has precedence over all others. The guru is to be served just as Krishna is served. The guru is to be worshipped in a particular way. Is the guru to desert his seat without telling all of this to the disciple? In the angle, there is always the defect in the shape of absence of fullness, the evenness of level of 180 degrees less than 360 degrees. But in the plane surface, in 360 degrees, there is no such defect. Ordinary foolish people fail to grasp the simple truth that in the emancipated state, no defect is possible. So he may say, oh, you see, so he's liberated. So he can talk like that. We may say if a circle is not full, then there's a defect. It's incomplete. So he may say, well, he's not liberated. So there's incomplete. His teachings will be incomplete. But as we have learned from our guru, even those who are not on the liberated platform can act as gurus by following. If you speak the right thing and act in the proper way, that is, and understand it, at least one should. So there is vicha, acha, pracha, then one can be, and we learn from this, one should be a guru. As the saying goes, Having begun the dance, it is no use to draw the veil. This is a Bengali saying. Generally, a young girl, if she's in the presence of elders, she'll, especially male elders, will pull the veil over her face as a sign of modesty. But if she comes to dance on the stage, it's a different mood. Of course, generally a high-class woman doesn't go to dance on the stage. And it would be hoped that more high-class people wouldn't go to watch a girl dancing on the stage. But the whole aim of a young girl dancing on the stage is to appreciate the beauty of her body. It's whatever you may say, it's got sexual connotations. So why draw the veil? Why be ashamed in such a situation? You're there to show off your beauty. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur invokes this example and says, I'm doing the duty of a guru, that yet if I preach that no one should shout jai to me, that is, if I merely say in a roundabout way, sing jai to me. In other words, if I don't say, if I were to say that no one should shout jai to me, if I don't do that, then indirectly I'm saying, you should say jai to me, because that's what's done to a guru. If I was to say, don't say jai to me, it would be nothing short of duplicity, because you've taken the role of a guru. Why have you taken the role of guru? Not to indulge your ego, but on the order of your guru. And if you do that, then you have to do it in fullness. Our Gurudev has not taught us such insincerity. Neither has Mahaprabhu taught such insincerity. I must serve Bhagavan in a straightforward manner. In other words, it's there in the Bhagavatam, it's there in all the scriptures, it's there in the whole culture. The guru is to be worshipped as God. So if one takes the role of a guru, of teaching others, of instructing others, of initiating others, on the order of one's guru, then one has to accept all the protocol which goes with it. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying. But the catch, if you like, or the crucial point, is that one should deliver the message as it is. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the instruction of Bhagavan has come down through the guru. I have to obey it. I have to obey it in all sincerity. I will not disrespect the guru at the insistence of any foolish or malicious sectarians, especially since Sri Gurudev has directed me. On my order, become a guru and save this land. My Gurudev has taught this command and in turn conveyed it to me. I will not be guilty of any insincerity in carrying out that command. In other words, he's saying that if I were not to accept the praise of others, if I were not to accept the high position of a guru, which is part of the package, if you're going to be a guru, which you're ordered by your guru, if I don't accept that, then I'm being insincere to my guru. What am I saying indirectly? That my guru accepted this, I won't accept it. I'm showing myself to be better than him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I will not accept the ideal of ignorant, insincere, pseudo-ascetic sectarianism. I will not learn insincerity. The worldly-minded, the malicious, the false renunciants, and the selfish cannot understand how the devotees of Bhagavan, kicking out everything of this world by the command of Bhagavan, throughout the 24 hours never deviate, not even a second, from service to God. So that's also a requirement of a guru. It's not just sitting on a big seat. one has to be 24 hours engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hypocritical sectarians and pseudo-Vaishnavas who internally cherish the longing for earthly fame will naturally think, what a shame it is for one occupying the seat of the Guru to listen to the eulogies of disciples. So those who denigrate the Guru for allowing himself to be praised in public, sitting on a high seat, they themselves had the desire for earthly fame. They're envious. They want it. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that every Vaishnava regards all other Vaishnavas as the objects of his veneration. When Thakur Haridas exhibited an attitude of extreme humility, Mahaprabhu said, "You are the greatest of the world, the crest jewel. Please let us have a meal together." He, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, carried in his arms the Satchidananda form of Thakur Haridas. In the community that follows Sri Rupa, the qualities of desiring no honor for oneself and readiness to duly honor others are fully present. Those who do not detect any disparity are like those who detect any disparity are like the owl, blind while the sun shines. By such conduct, they commit offense. So those who think that the guru is making an offense by accepting the paraphernalia and praise that goes with the role of a guru, they themselves are being offensive. If, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if I disobey the law that has come down to me through the chain of preceptorial succession, then the offense of neglecting to carry out the order of the guru will sever me from the lotus feet of Sri Guru Dev. Then you won't be a guru. If you think, now I'll be a new style of guru. I'll just be very humble and with all the trappings of humility that people would expect would be the trappings of a humble person. But if I do that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, then I'll be cut off from my guru. Then I'm not able to be a guru. If, he says, and this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his full transcendental erudition, insight, he says, if to carry out the command of the Vaishnava Guru, I have to be arrogant or brutish. Actually, there's no question of being arrogant or brutish, but he might appear like that to people of mundane sensibility. If to carry out the command of the Vaishnava Guru, I have to be arrogant or brutish or suffer eternal perdition, punishment in hell. I'm prepared to welcome such eternal damnation and even sign a contract to that effect. I will not listen to the words of malicious persons in lieu of the command of Sri Guru Dev. I will dissipate with indomitable courage and conviction the currents of thought of the rest of the world, relying on the strength derived from the lotus feet of Sri Guru Dev. I confess to this arrogance. If you think I'm arrogant, you can say, but I have to do this. This is what he's saying. He says, I'm prepared to go to hell forever, but he knows that he won't go to hell forever because he opened this section of the talk by saying, quoting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become a guru, deliver the world, deliver this land on my order, then kabunabadibe tomai e bishoy taranga. The currents of the world will not obstruct you. Punarapi e tai pabe morashonga. Even here, right in this place, you'll get my association, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So there's no question of going to hell. But even if there were, he says, I'll go to hell, but I won't abandon the order of my guru. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur continues. He's very bold, speaking. These are all highly respectable people of the world. He's speaking to, and maybe in their heart there's some, maybe they hadn't even recognized it. In their heart there's this doubt, and how can he accept such laudations and service? How can he do that? That doubt may be in their heart. So Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur continues. By sprinkling a particle of the pollen of the lotus feet of my preceptor, crores of people like you will be saved. There is no such learning in this world, no such sound reasoning in all the 14 worlds, in any man or god, that can weigh more than a solitary particle of the dust of the lotus feet of my Gurudev. My Gurudev, in whom I have implicit trust, can never spite me. I am by no means willing to listen to the words of anyone who seeks to harm me or to accept such a malicious person as my preceptor. I've got my guru. The guru gave the order. I'm following it. And you can say what you like, but your intent is to harm me. You do not have good intent. But I know my Gurudev, his only intent is to benefit me. And though I be, by my own qualifications, incapable, through me, my guru wants to benefit the world. Assuming the responsibility of being a guru. For us, it's being a guru. We have to do it. We are ordered by our own Gurudev, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We have to do it, but be guileless. Don't do it for name, fame, glory. Then you can do it. Otherwise, the big seat, one sits on a big seat, and then we become, as Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur Sri Gurudev, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, that so many people, they ascend a big seat just to drop stool down on the ground below. Stool in the form of Nishidacha Kutinati Jibe Hingshan Lab Puja Pratishtadi Jato Upashakagan. They may be in the role of a guru, the position of a guru, but they don't follow properly all the rules that they're supposed to follow. They're not guileless, they're duplicitous. They're envious of others by not preaching Krishna consciousness. They have desire by being a guru for pecuniary gain, material gain, or position, or prestige, or so many other things. Any personal motive, one is disqualified. Heavy words from a heavy guru. Guru means heavy. We're so grateful for his heaviness by which we were able to get his mercy through the parampara system, and which we are supposed to continue. Otherwise, how will the sampradaya go forward? Not by any imagination or speculation or deviation in the name of Ritvikvad. That will not work. That is upper sampradaya. Gurus are required in every generation. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas cha kripa sindubhya evacha. Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta dahambravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivadatu jano yatha tata va nanu mukarona vayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madhira madati mata. Bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.